This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm very, very honored to have Payroll Giovanni in the building.
Yes, yes.
How you feeling, man?
Can't complain, man. You know, working, grinding.
Ever since we started interviewing Detroit rappers a couple years ago, we really started, you know, get in the mix. You're like probably top two, maybe top three of artists that people just hit me and are just like, yo, if you really want to tell the story, you got to tap in with Payroll.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they told me Payroll Giovanni's down to do an interview, I was like, okay, this is perfect. Because, you know, there's like there's a lot of history that was laid, you know, 10 years ago, however long ago, that sometimes people who are into like the whole new wave of Detroit and Flint shit, they kind of miss out on, right?
Right, right. Most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So
Detroit always been like its own scene.
Right. But it feels like there was like a certain street era, if you will. I don't know if there's a better word for it, that kind of got ushered in by you and a few other people maybe like 10 or so years ago.
Even like before us, it was before us you had Street Lords, Rock Bottom, Eastside Cheddar Boys. Like they kind of, to my generation, they laid the blueprint. You know, it was groups before them too. Like go back to the 80s and all of that.
Right.
Detroit Most Wanted.
But was that your primary stuff that you were listening to when you got into music?
I was listening to Street Lords heavy and Eastside Cheddar Boys. Like they kind of like showed the blueprint of what a Detroit dude supposed to look like, how they supposed to carry themselves, and kind of like what the goals was. You know, we was like a baby Street Lords for real.
Mm-hmm. And were you listening to like everything else that was popping in America, or were you mostly just listening to stuff that was regional?
Oh no, most definitely. Like we was listening to Jay-Z, Rough Riders, Fabulous, Cash Money. You know, heavy Cash Money. Detroit was real heavy on Cash Money.
Right.
Like when they first came out, like everybody started putting 20s and 22s on their cars and TVs, wearing the platinum jewelry. Like Cash Money kind of, they came out kind of messed the streets up. Everybody got to really flossing for real.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting though, because when we think about Detroit, I mean, I at least think of it as being like more close culturally to like a New York than it would be to like down south. But do you feel like you were kind of influenced more by the shit that was coming from down south?
Well, Street Lords, they sound was kind of like West Coast and like the Bay mixed with like some Cash Money. So
okay. That
was kind of our sound for real.
Right.
Like, we never really sound like New York like that or nothing.
Right. Not sound wise. I guess I just mean like culturally like personality wise, you know?
Detroit got its own, you know, own culture. You know, I done been to New York. I done been a lot of places. I ain't really seen nothing like Detroit other than the Bay. The Bay kind of similar to Detroit. But Detroit got its own wave, man. You could look at a dude in the club and just know he from Detroit.
Right.
Like, it's something I can't really explain. But just the way they carry themselves, the way words they use, you know, mannerisms.
You still feel like that? Like, you still feel like if you went to the club tonight in L.A., that you might be able to point out the Detroit guy?
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
What if he been out here for 10 years?
He still gonna have Detroit all over. He still gonna have Detroit all over, for sure, for sure.
That's interesting, because out here, I'm so used to hearing people from Long Beach say that they could spot another dude from Long Beach easily in a room full of people from other parts of L.A., and I hear people from Compton say the same thing. And
I mean, when you grow up somewhere, you just, you know, you gonna have a certain mannerism, certain words you say a certain way, you know, like wearing certain clothes a certain way. Like Detroit dudes is kind of, you know, we kind of flashy a little bit. Even when we subtle, we still a little flashy.
Right.
But it's certain words, like, what up, dope? You know, for sure. My baby, like, that's a Detroit dude all day.
Right, little things like that. Okay, I got you. So tell me a little bit about your upbringing and what your childhood was like.
I grew up on this block called Strathmore, Finkel Ave, West Side. You know, it was cool. It was cool. I was a only child. I had both my parents. Spoiled as hell.
Spoiled?
Yeah, very spoiled.
So they only had one kid, so they only had to distribute.
And my parents was young.
Right.
You know, my mama had me when she was like 15.
Oh, wow.
Pops was like 16, 17. And, you know, they was getting money, so, you know, I was getting the best of everything.
Getting money like they had jobs and stuff?
Nah, they was, you know, they was in the game.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know that, you know. I'm just growing up, just this is normal life to me.
But were you seeing it at a certain point, though?
Yeah, I was seeing it.
And when you say the game, you mean selling drugs, I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was seeing it, but I didn't know that this wasn't normal until I got around other kids. And they like, you know, this shit is crazy. It really wasn't until our crib got raided where I was like, okay.
What age was that?
I want to say like, man, probably like 6 or something, 7.
Right.
So I was young as hell in the first one.
Because criminal stuff probably doesn't seem like the biggest deal to you as a kid. And then when you realize that there are consequences, that's when it all of a sudden has to kind of connect.
When the first raid happened, that's when I knew, like, well, they had to sit me down and talk to me. Like,
right.
Explain to me what was going on. Because I'm like, what the fuck? I was in the bathroom. I just heard a bunch of noise. Seen these dudes running through the crib with jackets on that said ATF on them.
Uh-huh.
And everybody had a routine. Everybody run upstairs. This person run downstairs. You know, they flushing shit down the toilet. I'm the only one lost. Like, what the fuck?
So everybody in the house had a game plan.
Yeah, they had a routine.
What was the fucking movie, Blow or whatever, where they start flushing everything down the toilet? Yeah, really?
Yeah. And
so you had been seeing the coke. You just didn't know what it was for?
I wasn't seeing no coke or nothing. You know, you probably just come. You see a triple beam scale or something in the kitchen. But I'm thinking this is in everybody's kitchen.
Right.
You know, I ain't seen what they doing on triple beam scale. Okay. But. Counting money and all that type of shit. You know, you knew when to get out the room.
Why is it a triple beam scale? I have no idea. Like,
is it a really good scale? That's kind of before my era.
Like, if you have two beams, it's kind of whack. If you have three beams, it's good.
I don't know. I don't even know how they even use them things, man. But that was always in the kitchen, the triple beam scale.
So, did your parents get in serious trouble after that, though?
No, I just remember them taking all our shit. You know, like, they took our TVs. We had this big ass TV, took the cars. Took all our shit. And the jury was like, you know, they stashed the jury in my room or something.
Really?
The jury.
Wow. You know? But they didn't get locked up or anything. So it's
my
still.
My pops would get like locked up, you know, but they never really used to find shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they ain't never like walked out with some big ass bag of dope or some guns or nothing.
But this was just kind of going on like your whole time that you were living with your parents?
Yeah, it happened like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 times.
See, in my head, I'm imagining it happens once and that's kind of the end of everything.
No. Hell no. You know, that was going on in the neighborhood a lot, though.
Right.
It was normal. You know.
Definitely. So as a young kid, though, are you planning on being a good kid? Or are you kind of like accepting the whole while, like, oh, maybe I'm just going to be doing the family business?
Nah, I was like a good kid to me. You know, other kids probably say different.
Right.
You know, but to me, I was a good kid. Like. I kind of looked down on hustling when I was young because I was introduced to it from that perspective.
It's old news to you, yeah.
All of that.
It's not like me where I like find out about drug dealing. It's like, oh, this is
yeah, no, this crazy it thing, was like yeah. when my man's and them got to hustling, I'm like, y'all retarded, like y'all dog gonna get kicked in like any day,
right?
Because that's how I was introduced to it,
right?
You know, so I grew up just really, to me, a normal fly kid in the hood. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't getting into no dumb shit or nothing like that. And then, you know, you get older and you want to get some money. And you kind of peep, like, how your lifestyle already set up.
Right.
And you're like, man, I got to get with the program.
But you needed to get your own money? You weren't going to be like, hey, maybe mom, dad, hook me up.
Oh,
with
by
some
the
cool
time I was older, all that shit was over with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were out the game by the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, they was, you know, regular folks, you know.
Really?
Working jobs, whatever.
Yeah, selling drugs usually not like a 20, 30-year profession.
Nah, it's not meant to be that. It's supposed to be lick, and you take the lick, and you create something legit with it, and leave that shit alone.
Right.
Try to make that shit a lifestyle, you know.
But so you get literally back into doing the same exact kind of shit that you had grown up around?
Man, a little bit, you know.
Switch it up a little bit.
But like my grandparents was hustling too. Mm-hmm. Like they was, my granddad was a big deal over there.
And you really got it in you.
And I didn't know that until I got older.
You're going to have to fucking fight hard to make sure your kids don't get into this shit. Because it would appear that it kind of runs in the family.
Well, that's
right?
why I work so hard doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? My kids, they don't even, you know, they've never seen that shit before.
Right.
You know? But
once they start to get like 15, 16, son, once they start wanting nice shit, you got to really get in there.
They got to be in position, already have something set up for them. That's where shit got kind of fucked up with me was, you know, I get older and I want money for myself. It was like no foundation. It was like, oh, here go this business you can run. Here go this. It was just like I was kind of like had to figure it out on my own. And, you know, I always hustle any way I could, you know, whether it was taking bottles to the store. I sell my damn Al-Sime, you know, Al-Sime jackets was real popular in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
My hustle was like selling my Al-Sime jacket right before the winter, buy another one, you know, do something with the extra hundreds, you know, whatever hustle I could come up with, you know. Right. It wasn't until like one of my mans, you know, my man's RJ, rest in peace. He was just like, why don't you hustle? He like, you know, you retarded. Like, dude. He's like, man, everybody in the neighborhood love you. Like, why you don't hustle? Like, this shit in your blood. And it was like, yeah, right. Why don't I hustle?
Right.
So, you know, just got to dibbling a little bit.
Right. Would you say that you were fully into that before you ever thought about being a rapper?
Yeah. No. Let me see. I kind of always could rap. Since elementary school, but back then it was damn near like impossible to get into rap.
Right.
That was when you had the system, like get a record deal, get a Pharrell beat, Timberland beat. You know, you had to really get a deal. You couldn't just come out independent and make some noise. So that was like the same as getting an NBA contract to us. Like, damn, you one in a million.
Yeah.
Make it with raps.
Because it's not like the way it is now where you could very easily like scrape together $1,000, $200, get a video done, put it on YouTube.
No.
Get 10,000 views and keep working at it. Back you know, then, all of a sudden if, you got a project.
Back then, if your mama like, yeah, my son a rapper. He ain't got a record deal. He was broke.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, he wasted his goddamn time.
Right.
So, that you know, it was just something I knew I was good at, but it was nothing I was never trying to pursue.
But a lot of those local Detroit dudes probably didn't have record deals, right? And you guys were still fucking
with
them?
The street lords and shit.
Or did
like,
they had deals?
They didn't have no record deal, but them they was getting money. They was balling.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of like the Detroit motto. Rap really wasn't a cool thing to really be doing like that.
Right.
You know, we even used to get that. Like, Doughboys Cash Out, we used to get that. Like, y'all rapping ass niggas. Y'all niggas rapping. Nigga, we get money, nigga. Like,
yeah,
that's the Detroit culture. Get money.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of looked down on a little bit at first.
So how long were you in the streets before you started taking the rap shit more seriously? Or when did Doughboys Cash Out begin to become a thing?
Doughboys Cash Out. Well, we was a crew before we was rapping.
Okay,
we
right.
A crew, just some young dudes shining, messing with all the ladies and just beefing with all the other crews. You know, we was popping like on the scene. And we made a song just playing around about Cartier glasses. And it kind of blew up on like the teen club little atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And
what year are we talking?
Man, I want to say this is probably 06, 07.
So the Cartiers were big even back then?
Oh, they was big way before that.
Oh, really?
Dudes was getting killed for them glasses when I was in middle school.
But always been a Detroit thing primarily, right?
Yeah. But I got introduced to him leaving middle school, going to high school. You know, I heard about a dude that got killed for him. So my mama like, please don't wear them glasses.
Right.
I ended up wearing them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he just had to have them. They was like the coolest shit on earth.
Right.
You know, it was like a status symbol.
Sometimes I wonder how I would look with those on.
Man, it's going to look like money. It compliment everybody.
Yeah, but maybe not in a good way. I don't know.
You like a shades type dude.
Yeah, I like dark shades.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah. But okay, so all right, so y'all were a crew for a while before you started really rapping. Like, was there any idea of like, oh, maybe we should change our name or anything? Because, you know, you might not want to necessarily be doing, you know, we see this with YSL where you might not want the label in the street.
I feel like we wasn't like no gang or nothing.
Oh, okay.
You know, we was just like a crew of friends just like shining together.
Mm.
You know, like our thing was ladies and getting money.
And this is like the good old days before y'all had issues with anybody or?
No, we always had issues with people. It really was just because we was shining so hard and the girls cheerleading so much that, you know, of course the other dudes, they don't like that shit.
It's got to come with it, yeah.
Yeah, it just came with the territory.
Right. So, I mean, it is pretty wild because when I go back and watch the old videos, like, I don't know, there's just like a real style to y'all guys that just really stands out a lot. And you can see like seeds of like what Detroit rap now sounds like in that shit where you can really feel like the beginning of certain things coming together and how people have taken some of the early Sonic influences and really rolled with it since then.
Yeah. Yeah. We was just having fun, man. We didn't have an idea to impact any of that was gonna have on right. the city. Like, we was just making music for ourselves, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, just to listen to in the cars and pull up banging in front of the parties we wasn't supposed to be at. Mm-hmm. Dudes used to be like, man, I better not come to this party. You know, you nigga, it's gonna go down. We'd pull right up, banging our shit, and, you know, just out the window. That's really what we made our shit for. We right. didn't think it was gonna turn into what it turned into.
Right, but does it feel like way simpler times when you look at it? Because it sounds like a version of Detroit that was probably a lot less dangerous than it is these days.
Detroit was dangerous as hell back then. Mm. It was dangerous as shit. You know, that's when dudes would follow you home for them glasses.
Really?
Yeah, dudes would be in your bushes for them Cardis.
How much are they, like $1,000?
1,000. If you got the new ones, probably like 2.
Right.
You know, but in our area, it was really like the Woods and the Buffs, the old school Buffs. So like 400-500, 600 to 1,000.
Right.
You know, 1,500 tops. And it was a dude to follow your ass home.
That's a bad
kill you over them bitches.
That's a bad state of affairs when you could get killed over like a $500 pair
serious.
Of glasses.
A lot of dudes lost their life, you know, behind them glasses.
Man, a lot of people lost their lives around starter jackets too, and those were like $100.
Yeah, yeah. That's like what, 80s, 90s, something?
Yeah, like I remember my parents telling me about that when I was a kid. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not happening here in New Hampshire, but
it probably was. It probably going
killed?
On.
I don't know.
Killed? Maybe
I heard
about
up.
Dudes getting beat up for
yeah,
the
yeah, for sure, but
shit.
I don't know. I'm gonna be real with you. Even my whole time through high school, I never really heard about anybody getting robbed for their clothes.
Man, it used to go on like you get robbed for your Jordans and shit when I was growing up.
Right. I probably am lucky to be from a place where nobody had any cool clothes.
Oh damn.
Maybe some starter jackets. That's about it. But okay, yeah. And all right, this is why I know that you guys were on some wild shit is because in one of the videos, like real old video I was watching, the dude had a baby alligator.
Or
a crocodile,
was,
maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
That was the mob. That was with Clay. Yeah.
You tell me how that works. What is the baby alligator for?
I don't know. I wasn't over there when they did that.
Oh,
part.
Really?
Yeah. That was on the east side, I think.
Okay.
And it just had a damn baby alligator out of nowhere, like next to a Glock.
Right.
30-round clip.
So, all right. I knew this dude back in the day who was like a real drug dealer, like probably the first actual like real deal drug dealer I ever knew in my life. And I remember always hearing that when his crib got raided that they ended up finding a fucking alligator in the bathtub. And it, word through the grapevine ended up being like, oh, no, if somebody comes to steal their drugs, then
the alligator
will
like
attack them or something.
Security guard, basically.
I mean.
I don't know. I ain't never heard that. I know some dudes back in the day had a lion. He used to have them in their spot. Yeah.
Where the fuck is the lion?
I seen the picture. They had a lion in the spot. It was a bunch of niggas around a lion.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was like a wise monkey with a
walking
stick.
I think that was
more
of a flex, though. Like, right. I don't think it was like a security thing. It was just like, we got exotic animals over here.
Right.
Because money.
However good the exotic animal could be to like stop an invader, it's like you still have to deal with it. Like, I don't know what an alligator shitting is like. But I'm gonna assume it's a whole thing.
Yeah, and it might turn on you or something. You know, I don't fuck with crazy animals like that.
The
you can't predict what they're gonna do.
The quality of life hit that you're gonna take in your life from having a fucking alligator in one of your bathrooms is just gotta be serious.
Oh yeah, very.
Your kid goes in there, and gets his hand bit off.
Yeah, it's goddamn. You know, I didn't think about that. You know, you can't predict what the alligator gonna do. He might be sleeping, found his way in your bedroom, kill you or something.
Right.
Fuck that.
Definitely. Okay, so were you guys being courted by labels at all?
What you mean, like?
Like, were the labels hollering at y'all? Did they see the value, and you guys just weren't fucking with it?
Yeah, the labels was hollering at us. I think T.I. was, like, one of the first people to reach out.
Right.
Then Jeezy, and we went with Jeezy.
Yeah, what year was that?
Man, I want to say 2000, 12 or 13.
And so you weren't thinking about signing directly to a label. You were thinking about signing up under a rapper?
I mean, man, then it was just like, no, we really ain't know nobody that had a deal like that. So the fact that we was even offered a deal, you know, on this big platform by this big artist was crazy to us because we never seen it before. So I ain't gonna lie, we didn't give a fuck what that record deal said. We was taking it.
Like, and people forget, though, that at that time, if you wanted to be, like, new rappers, you really had to be represented, like, with an existing popular rapper, or else it was, like, very hard to imagine you being able to be successful.
Yeah, you needed somebody to be right there with you, like, co-signing the project and kind of guiding you through it. Because I feel like a label... at that time, they wouldn't have, they probably wouldn't have knew what to do with us.
Right.
Because our sound was so new at the time and raw. And, like, the rest of the world ain't get it back then. They ain't like how it is now. Like, then they ain't get that, them beats and that shit we was talking, why the beats so fast and sound like it was made in the basement and shit. They was trying to kind of push that over. Like, nah, get these beats.
Yeah. And you definitely, I mean, okay, like, 42 Doug, we've seen him with Lil Baby, we've seen him around Future. That definitely, like, helps people to pay attention to him, for sure. Like, it's a great thing to have cosigns early in your career. But, I mean, when you think about the vast majority of Detroit rappers, most of them you can't really point to. Like, you know, you might be able to point at someone and say, oh, they did get a feature from this dude and that helped them a lot at one point, but it's not like they have to sign to an artist
Be. Nowadays, you could just be winning in your own lane.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even need a... You know, it helped to have a major feature or major cosign, but if the city fucking with you, it's just going to grow from there.
Right.
If you just keep working.
So how much time did you actually spend with Jeezy before you got signed with him, though?
Man, we flew out and met him, and I think we got to doing a deal right after that.
Right.
So we kicked it with him a couple times, probably once or twice.
Right.
Probably, it was like a, I want to say like a, 6-month process, something like that, or 4 months, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, for like a 4-month process.
But then once you're actually signed, like, how much stuff do you end up doing together? Or like,
oh, we moved to Atlanta.
Right.
You know, we moved to Atlanta. We was with him every day.
For how long?
Man, I don't know. That shit a blur. It feel like it was for a couple months or something.
That must be wild, just because it must be weird to sign a big fucking group in general. Because how many members were there technically?
In the rap group, it was, I want to say, 5.
Okay.
4. It was me, Dre, HBK, Keith, and then you had Rock. He was locked up at the time. And you had Chaz, like the manager. And then we had Clay. He was a singer.
Uh-huh.
And then we got, like, featured artists that was in the camp, like Bright Mo Main. But it was mainly, like, 5 rappers.
Right.
Yeah.
And so during that time with Jeezy and everything, were you all confident that this was going to go really well? Or, like, what was the vibe at that time?
See, I'm a thinker, so I was just analyzing everything. And I just peeped how the city kind of switched up on us.
Really? It felt like that even before you put out an official project?
Like, we became a walking lick, like. Man, you got security guards trying to sue us. You know, people trying to blame us for everything.
Really?
Yeah, and it was crazy. So we had to really start moving different for real, like stay out the way.
So you're saying that people were trying to sue you, or was it more of a problem that people were trying to rob you?
Nah, it was like like sue us type shit. Like, if we in a bar or something and something happened, you know, it's glass get broke, whatever. They're going to be, oh, Dope Boys did that shit.
And there's,
you know,
so many.
We can sue.
There's so many of y'all that it's, like, kind of easy to blame anything on.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Something's
like,
going to happen
like
with that many dudes
mans,
rolling around.
You know, they caught a case around that time, you know, just based on some he say, she say shit, you know, with a security guard.
Right. Damn. So, okay. Does that, like, when does it start to become clear that this isn't going to really work out? In terms of the whole Jeezy thing,
I think it was something that went on in that building with Atlantic and Jeezy. It ain't really had nothing to do with us, but we was just like dealing with the Detroit shit, you know, dealing with having to move different, and you know, we just had to do a lot of adjusting. you know, a lot. Because we used to being out just partying. We ain't got no security. We did shows, I don't know how long, hella jury on, no security, no none of that shit. Now we got to have security. You know, we got to control the people around us more. You know, we just had to tighten up all the way.
Right. And did that kind of make it a little less fun?
Nah, that was some fun times. I ain't gonna lie. That was some fun times.
Right.
But it became more business.
Were you happy during the time in Atlanta? Like, was or did it feel kind of different?
I loved being in Atlanta because it was from it was away from Detroit.
Right.
And it, just that alone.
You're so
was
much
like,
less known. Yeah, it's easier to be.
It was a peace of mind. Yeah. You know, you could focus on the music and, you know, it wasn't like, I don't know, just something about Detroit. It might be everybody at their hometown. You just land in Detroit, you just start feeling some stress on you. Like, man, back at this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I think it's everybody at their hometown.
You hear that all the time. People move from Chicago to Atlanta, and it's just like, oh, like, yeah. Okay, all of a sudden, not everybody knows who I am. Yeah.
But Atlanta was beautiful, man. You know, they opened their arms up to us, and it was all love. Mm. You know, we loved it out there.
Definitely. Okay, so... I was watching another interview that you did where you said that at one point you bought a crack house.
I bought a crack house.
Yeah, and you said it didn't work out good.
What was it?
Well, actually, no, you said you bought a house, but it was kind of inferred that you were selling drugs out of the house and that it just didn't work out.
I don't know.
Okay, no. Did you ever buy a house?
Yeah, I bought
like early on.
I bought a house, yeah. I bought a crib.
And so it would be wrong to refer to it as
a crack
house.
I wasn't no crack house. I wasn't selling.
I think
no
when I
crack,
did my notes, I thought that I was going to remember to tell the whole story of like you buying the house and then it, and just trying to get information about how it went bad. But instead,
it wasn't nothing like that. Oh. No, I was fully rapper mode by then.
Oh yeah. But I'm thinking that this was like before all that.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell no, I was buying jeans and gym shoes and shit when I was hustling.
Right. So it wasn't, so it was in kind of the middle of all this hype from the Jeezy situation that you guys ended up having this beef with Team Eastside.
I mean, we really never even had no beef for real.
I heard it was a chain snatching that kind of sparked things off, right?
No, it was really the city kind of created that shit.
Right.
Like, the city kind of was like, ooh, they from the east side, y'all from the west side.
Mm.
Ooh, you know, just creating just tension. You know what I'm saying? I've been fucking with Peezy and Snoop, you know, rest in peace, Snoop. I've been fucking with them. So it never was no problems. But if the city is like going over there saying, ooh, you heard what you said on this song where he said whoop whoop, and they coming over here, hey, you heard what they said.
Right.
It's gonna be some tension.
I mean, it's still like that to this day, but it's with like the Instagram live comments. Like,
right.
you could be totally cool with somebody, but the comments sometimes just completely.
I mean, you can't let people get in your ear with dumb shit. People love to see some dumb shit go on.
Right.
You just can't really feed into it for real.
Yeah.
You know, but that come with just the rap shit. Like, if it's something right here, then this is what's going on, they're going to want something else.
Right.
You know, it's just part of the game.
But it was interesting hearing about it because, like, there's so many people and there's so many moving pieces involved that I was seeing that Vezo was saying in a Vlad interview that you and him actually were on good terms, like, way before it formally got squashed, right? But it was just kind of, like, awkward because you couldn't be public about the fact that y'all were cool.
I mean, I met Vez probably, like, back in, man, '07 or something like that. My man's, we had brought him to my crib. Because Vez was rapping, like, way back in the day.
Right.
Like, he been rapping. But, I mean, when the shit was going on, it was just like, of course you over here. So, you know, you can't be over there.
Oh, I see it with L.A. rappers all the time.
Yeah, you know, you gotta stand with your people.
I know people who buddy-buddy when they're in their early 20s, and then by the end of their 20s, it's just they probably don't even have an issue with each other, but they can't be around each other because of...
Yeah, just and that's out of respect for your people.
Yeah,
because you know, it don't look good for you to be over here just buddy buddy with these dudes, and these dudes at odds. You know, you know, now that just don't look good.
Okay, but it must have been kind of weird because like the city is talking about this beef and stuff, but it's not really being documented on YouTube and shit too crazy, or was it at the time?
Nah, that was before the YouTube documentary shit when they covered the beef and all that shit, but. I ain't gonna lie, like we really ain't go to the internet with none of that. You know, they didn't either. You know what I'm saying? That's something I really respect about them too. Like they kept that in the streets.
Right.
You know, so
nobody really ended up talking about it that much until it was over.
Yeah, like now we laugh about that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's you know, it is what it is. We got past it.
Mm, definitely. So, I was watching in that same interview with Vezo that I was watching where he was talking about the history of that little beef and everything. I saw that he was saying some critical things about Eminem for the way that he maybe didn't necessarily put on as many artists as he could have out of Detroit early on. Would you say you were in agreement with that, or do you consider that to be kind of his business?
With Eminem?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's his business, man. I don't know.
Right.
Like Eminem, I fuck with Eminem growing up. You know, like he had everybody proud. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Damn, he from the D. He was going. He with Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I ain't looking at it like he supposed to put us on or nothing like that.
Right. I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like, let's say you're the biggest fucking rapper in the world next year. It's like, you know, nobody's going to really expect you to put on anybody besides your friends, right? Like, your homies. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, every new dope artist out of Detroit has to get co-signed by you.
I mean, it's damn near impossible to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I get what he's saying. Like, he's saying, like, you know, hop on a song or something like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Acknowledge us.
Yeah.
That's really what he was saying. I think they just twisted his words.
But like, how many new Chicago artists is Chief Keef hopping on songs with? The ones who pay him. Like, it's just nobody expects that of Chief Keef, even though he's kind of like to Chicago in a way. He's almost like the Eminem to Detroit, you know, like at
Chief
least.
Chief Keef embraced a lot of rappers in Detroit, too.
Right.
A whole lot of rappers.
Who?
He came and like snatched up a bunch of them.
Oh, he was fucking with Snapdog for a while.
Yeah, Snapdog, Yay Yay Jordan, you know, free Yay Yay Jordan, YNS Cheeks. It was a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it is weird to think about because he's done a bunch of like moments where he put songs together, like a couple moments where he put a bunch of artists from Detroit together on one song. Mm-hmm. He's done that a few different times in his career. But I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like with Eminem, people just wouldn't be happy unless he just really goes all in on the whole city, I feel like.
I think people just want to be acknowledged by him.
Yeah.
You know, like want to feel like he's just like, I see you. I see you over there doing your thing. That would mean a lot, you know. I don't feel like he owes.
When he doesn't acknowledge a rapper from Detroit who's popping off, though, it kind of makes you wonder, like, I wonder if he thinks they're good. I wonder if he thinks they're not good. And maybe that's why he's not tapping in. We like him. Maybe Eminem knows better. Because, I mean, the way Eminem raps, it is kind of easy to imagine he wouldn't be impressed by a lot of current rappers, right?
I mean, even though he hella lyrical, you still can, like, appreciate a different type of music.
Right.
You know, you ain't, just because you hella lyrical now, you don't appreciate, you know, somebody that's doing some singy
but
shit or
who knows,
whatever.
Maybe he doesn't, because like
he might be like, hey man, y'all gotta step y'all bars up. I don't
all
know
these steel drum
I know I
beats.
Can't fuck with Eminem like
right
shit. I can't get on the song with him and keep up with him.
I got the most,
I'm gonna stay in my lane though.
I mean, I got the most respect for him, and I grew up listening to him all throughout high school and shit, but realistically, have I been an Eminem listener for like 10 years? No, it's just, you know, he's kind of gone in a different direction music wise.
My older heads was listening to Eminem when he first came out, like with the Dr. Dre shit, because it was just because he was from Detroit.
Right.
You know, that was, people was hype about that shit.
It's actually weird to even think about that time period where he was just like another rapper.
Yeah, yeah. But now people was fucking with his shit. But, you know, then you got Blade Icewood and Street Lord. That was really who he came to, like on some,
right,
put us on, you know. Like, that's really, you know, if we gonna come to anybody, it would be them.
You ever see ICP out and about?
Who?
Insane Clown Posse?
Nah, I never seen them out.
You ever have beef with the Juggalos?
Nah, I want no beef with them. They look serious, man.
Real talk though?
What? I heard they like loaded. They rich off,
I think so,
independent shit.
But also the Juggalos are considered an official gang by the FBI.
Oh wow. I know that.
Yeah. And ICP has like sued and really tried to get that designation removed because I guess that it's bad business for them to like have
their
shit.
Yeah, you probably got people
way.
Just dropping sponsors and shit and not want to do business with you.
Yeah.
You
know, if your fans are a gang, it's got to.
Yeah. Come on, man.
But like, okay, where I grew up, there was this other town called Keene, like an hour north of where I lived. And it was like a college there and everything. And I remember I went when I was like towards the end of high school. My mom made me go to a fucking meeting there or whatever, like a tour to see if I wanted to go to college there. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it. But when I was up there, they told me that there was a gang war between the jocks and the Juggalos.
Who won?
In the town. I'm not sure. I think it was like an ongoing war. So, I mean, in that sense, I guess it is a real gang. Like, if people take it and use it as a gang, it's a gang, right?
I don't know. I don't want to say that about no gang.
I'm just saying, like, if 1,000 people worldwide start banging No Jumper and just going and killing people under the name of No Jumper, it's out of my hands. Like,
but then you ain't the leader.
No.
Yeah,
definitely not.
But they would be like, you're the leader of that shit.
Hopefully the FBI would be able to acknowledge that. They're like, you're not the leader.
You're
but
the leader. You started that shit.
Yeah, because
I'll figure your way out of it.
Because what's going to happen otherwise? The FBI is going to have to say, like, nah, we got to call this gang something else. We can't call it the Juggalos. We got to call it something else because it would be unfair to ICP to call it the Juggalos. I don't think they give a fuck.
I ain't heard ICP in a minute, man.
Well, one of them's actually, like, not doing the best health-wise, so they decided that they're going to fall back on touring and only tour a little bit now, do some festivals, shit like that, I think.
Okay. Yeah, last time I heard ICP, they was like, it was a while ago, man. Like,
and they're getting older.
Doing something with 3-6 Mafia, I think, a while ago.
Yeah, like when I sit down with them, it's kind of like, fuck, like you guys are kind of getting to that point career-wise where...
But, you know, they got their own lane, their own following.
They do.
They got a cult following.
But it's more like just physically, like, you know, once you get well into your 50s and shit, it's like you might not really be dying to be on tour like the way that you used to, you know?
Shit, I'm already, like, getting sick of that shit.
Yeah?
I can imagine it in your 50s.
Yeah, you get older and you just get grumpy and you don't want to be doing nothing.
I'm already trying to, you know, have my exit, my CEO exit.
Mm. You know. Yeah, because, like, I used to be down to go anywhere, traveling-wise, and now it's kind of like, no, I will go if I have to and if the money makes sense.
Yeah, like, shit, I'm tired as hell right now. Fresh off the plane, man.
You don't do energy drinks or coffee or anything?
Coffee.
Yeah.
But these flights to L.A., they always long as hell.
Yeah,
it's like Detroit? 5 hours from Detroit.
Yeah,
yeah. But you just be you in a different time zone when you land. You just be tired. You need like a day to rest, then get up. And
see,
move around.
I heard that from a lot of people. Fly in the day before, have a chill day, and then start
then
your work the next day. But for most of us, we can't really.
Yeah, I'm fresh off the plane. It was snowing before I got here. I had to do 2 miles an hour on the way to the airport.
Really?
Yeah, it was fucked up.
You missed the hailstorms out here a couple days ago, or maybe a week ago.
Hailstorms.
Damn. Very rare.
Damn. That's crazy.
And even like an hour north, they got straight up snow. My sister-in-law's house, 5 fucking feet of snow in her.
Did the whole city shut down?
It was mostly like a ton of rain. So that, like, the rain is what, you know, it never really gets cold enough here for it to, like, snow. It was just, like, hail for, like, 5 minutes.
Man, when I first moved to Atlanta, it snowed, like, that first day I got there and the whole city shut down. It wasn't. It probably wasn't even an inch of snow. The whole city shut down. It was crashes, people getting injured, all type of shit.
Yeah, because I grew up where there's snow everywhere, and it didn't stop us from doing much. Like, it could be 3 feet of snow out there. They shovel the shit. They plow. And then we're outside. We're doing whatever we got to do.
Man, that shit is normal.
Like, you might be driving 5-10 miles per hour, but.
We just had, like, 6-7 inches, like, 3 days ago.
Right.
Just out the blue. It was 50 degrees the day before. That's good weather to us.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, 6-7 inches.
But in L.A., it's more the fact that there's so many parts of the city that aren't set up for, like, the rain and shit. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of rain can just fuck shit up. You see,
like, flood and
bro,
all
I've seen
shit.
People's houses flood, like in my fucking neighborhood. Where my house flooded, like, this year from the rain.
Damn.
Just because of, like, some weird drainage.
Yeah, I be wanting to move out here, but then I get to thinking about y'all weather. I be like, I don't know about that shit.
Man, it's nice. Every day, this is pretty fucking similar weather-wise, you know?
Mm. Every time I'm out here, it's cool. I miss all the bullshit.
I mean, you have the outrageously hot summers, but then you have like, I mean, it's kind of cold in the winter, but not really. It's definitely not.
I've been out here in the winter. It ain't cold to me. No. Like, would you consider today cold?
It's breezy, but it's not like the way it was a week ago was like actually pretty fucking cold. Like waking up in the morning and it's like 45 degrees, 50 degrees out.
That's cold, y'all.
For us, yes.
Yeah. We dead about the barbecue. Degrees. Like, we happy as hell.
I don't know though. I feel like it kind of hits different. It's like a weird chill to it.
It is a colder 45, 50 than our city.
Yeah. Because on the East Coast, you don't even need a hoodie if it's 50.
Nah.
Right. Okay, I saw that when Peezy was talking about the Too Quick video, that he said that was y'all first time being around each other, and that it was almost kind of awkward because you didn't really talk to each other during the video. Like the beef had been formally squashed and everything, but that there was just sort of like a weird tension in there.
Just some tension, you know. It was like, what's this shit set up? You know, it was just a little tension. You got like both crews in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you never know how his mans feel, how my mans feel, regardless of how I feel,
right,
how he feels. These two might be like, fuck that.
Yeah. You know, so always the homies are going to get you fucked up in that situation.
You got to have that in mind. You know what I'm saying? But it was a successful shoot. You know, we had a ball, drunk some champagne.
You think the city was like really excited to see y'all on the same page there? That video's got like 10 million views, so apparently something worked.
That's one of the songs I perform.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, they most definitely embraced it. Like, the city loved it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was seeing some quote that said that T Grizzly said that you're the reason that he raps.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, like how's it feel to know that you could have that big an impact on somebody who's gone so far?
It's a blessing. You know, it's a blessing. He told me a story about when I was like at a club on Joy Road and I had like the Rolex on and getting out this car. You know, you don't be thinking about it like that in real time. You know, that somebody is looking. I didn't know he was out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to see what he became is crazy. Cause like, I know where he's from, like the neighborhood he's from. For him to become what he became and coming from over there, it's, you know, that's success for real.
Yeah, that's fire.
Yeah.
Have you heard about his GTA venture?
Yeah. Kinda that shit looked fun,
it's
man.
It's kind of a played out interview question at this point, but I'm going to risk it. Like, I don't know. That was pretty wild to say, like, oh, like, you're a rapper and you could be making serious fucking money doing some shit like this that I never even knew was a thing.
Yeah, I want to get my son on that, man. Mm. I'm gonna get my son on that.
What about a less violent video game?
That's boring as hell. Nobody played a less violent video game. So you weren't playing Grand Theft Auto growing up?
I actually did, but like
the one overlooking,
yes,
like with the little, yes, the little person. That was the first one I played.
It was like 98. I didn't even think you were gonna know about it, but yeah, in like 98, we had Grand Theft Auto on the computer, and it definitely wasn't anywhere near as good as people seem to think the newer version.
It didn't get like that till 3, I think.
Right,
like 2 was in London, and 1 was Liberty City, and I remember I used to have to bring my mom up there to get the game.
Right,
and then they banned it. And the game had got scratched up, so I couldn't play it no more. I thought it was over.
Right.
They came back out with it. But yeah, now that game was the shit. That was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
Steal cars and shit and shoot people.
It's weird that is the same game that like my friends were playing it like 10 years ago. And it's they haven't even upgraded it, huh?
They really don't need to.
They need to. I think they've been working on it.
I ain't played it in a long time, though. I ain't gonna lie. But the shit I see T Grizzly doing, that shit look fun.
Because that's the crazy part, is that they've breathed new life into it by just playing the game in a totally different way than people expected and creating these servers where people can go.
Yeah,
like,
that's where I get confused. Like, how is y'all doing this shit?
So it's like, I believe the way it works is like T Grizzly has his own fucking world in there.
Yeah.
And so you could go play with him and you could be involved in all this kind of shit and everything, but in order to play, you got to pay a small amount, $10 a month or some shit, to be part of this. And so he gets the vast majority of that money. I believe that that's how it works.
That's cold.
Yeah.
That's cold.
My favorite thing is when a bunch of different rappers have been doing the role-playing shit on there where they're pretending to be other gangsters, and then they start saying like things like dissing that person's enemies and stuff. Like Almighty J got in trouble for saying he was smoking Tuka in the game.
Oh, wow.
And like, yep. I mean, it's kind of weird that he was like acting. He was playing a role. And then he's like getting canceled and he's got GD saying they're going to kill him and shit.
Oh, man. God damn.
Damn, it's messy.
Just play the game. Don't fuck this up.
But that's human beings right there. Like, look how we could take something kind of simple like this game. And just...
You got to be careful what you say, man. And how you say it. You got to be careful, man. People take offense to a lot of shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, Cardo, YG, and Jeezy were doing a group at one point?
Yeah, yeah.
What year was that, and why did this not happen?
I want to say that was like 16 or 15 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after things after didn't the, really yeah. work out with Doughboy Casha?
Yeah, yeah. That was, I flew out there with Cardo. I didn't know what we was doing.
Uh-huh.
We was like a group. I think it was called Paid in Full or something like that.
Hmm.
We made a hard ass album. I don't know what happened to it though. It just like got scrapped.
That's gonna be the worst part about being a rapper, is that you could just work so hard on a project and have it never come out, huh?
Yeah, that shit was hard, man. We had Warren G making beats on there. We had DJ Quick beats on there. We had Daz Dillinger beats.
I mean, 2015, YG's already a big deal by that point, too.
Yeah, YG was big when we came into the picture. That must it was us and YG and Mustard.
Right.
And YG and Mustard was already killing shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. I wish that there was a statute of limitations where you could kind of drop that shit many years after, you know?
That's on somebody's hard drive.
Yeah. That's what we have to get it, and we have to leak it.
Oh, man. I would love to, man. I would love to. I ain't got made no money off of it. I just want the world to hear it.
Right. So where's your head at in terms of music at this point? What keeps you motivated and actually makes you really want to keep going with it and keep pursuing?
Man, for me, it's the fans. You know, the fans, they see me out, they just show me hella love, and they're like, man, you motivated me, man. You the reason why I stopped doing this, why I married my wife, why I take better care of my kids.
Your music made someone marry their wife?
Yeah, it was a dude ran up on me at a show, and he's like, man, I married my wife, man, because of you, and he showed me his wife and all that. I was like, damn.
Oh. But that's not really the message I got from your music. Made me really want
to
probably sell drugs, shoot somebody.
Nah, man, hell no. I don't. No,
not indiscriminately shoot somebody, but maybe if they have it coming.
Get money, but get money and stay out of the way.
Okay.
Get money, stay out of the way, take care of
yourself. But you can only really get money and stay out of the way once you're an older rapper. When you're younger, you're really expected to be up in the mix, right?
You can stay out the way when you're young. Because I was staying out the way.
Mm.
Now, when I was 18, 19, you had to do dumb shit. Your right. homeboy call you we about to go to this party, man. And the one niggas in there, we ain't got no guns. They might have got guns. We gonna go.
Right.
You gotta go.
The lesson that we all learn later in life, which is basically stay out the way, be in the crib, don't be out at every function, every party, et cetera. Everybody seems to learn that pretty much by the time they're 40. But when you're 18, there is no way to convince a young person.
Yeah, you damn near can't be out the way.
They want to be outside. Yeah.
Because you'll know in your mind, this shit is stupid.
Mm.
Why am I about to go do this shit? But you got to go.
Yeah.
You gotta go. But I feel mid-20s, if you get money, you can kind of fall back a little bit.
Right.
Man, I ain't going to that stupid shit. I'm chilling, dude. Got my little boy over here. I'm chilling with my girl.
Right.
You can kind of start falling back, But it depends on the type of person you is and who you're around.
Right.
Because
I know some people who are in their 40s, 50s, they still love to be in the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm past that personally. I've
been past that shit. That club shit.
Yeah.
I'm straight, man. I ain't nothing in there for me unless it's a walkthrough or a performance.
Right.
But I ain't trying to hang out in the fucking club and show everybody I'm getting money and pop bottles and all that shit. Hell nah.
I mean, part of the reason why I don't like going to the club is because it's just me having to kind of do this popular guy thing. I got to just talk to everybody.
You're probably bothering people. The shit out of you.
Exactly. And it's just kind of annoying, and I don't really like, what I want to do at night is just chill out and get ready for the next
day.
And not be in this place where I'm getting all this attention and I'm having to talk to 5 million fucking people.
Drained afterwards.
It's going to make me drained for the next day, and I know that I'm going to do a better job the next day doing interviews or whatever if I fucking relax at night. But I just think of this one time I went to the club to meet Gucci Mane at Live in Miami, and it's like, bro, I seen Jamie Foxx in there, Shaq, Guy Fieri, all these motherfucking famous people that are in there. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, these people are all a million times more famous than me. And they're having the time of their life. They're so happy to be in the club. And I'm like, maybe that's part of why they are where they're at in their life, is that they want this. They want to be out in front of the people and mingling and having these conversations and shit. Maybe that's just kind of, I'm a different type of person. I don't necessarily think like that.
I think you gotta, pop out here and there.
Yeah.
And it gotta make sense.
Hmm.
A certain event, you might pop out, with your shit on, make your presence be known, and you get up out of there. But just being in the club every fucking weekend, standing on the couch and all that shit, you really watering yourself down.
Yeah. I find that so depressing.
Yeah, you watering yourself down. It's not a treat to see Adam no more. He's going to be at this shit every Friday, man. What the fuck I'm care about seeing him for?
Even before I had anything going on, when I was like going to the bar and shit, if you would just, I would go to the bar 5 times in a week and just be like, man, this is depressing. This shit sucks.
You can feel in your
like, this is whack. I'm just doing the same thing over and over.
Weak as hell.
What am I going to do? I'm going to die here?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do this forever?
You can feel it when you ain't supposed to be doing something. That's when you got to switch your shit up. Yeah. I mean, I ain't going to that shit no more. I ain't talking to this motherfucker no more. Yeah. All this motherfucker want to do is have me go to the bar and spend my money. You know, you got to cut all that shit out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And if your people can't really get in their feelings about it, you know, you doing what's best for you.
Right. So what are you focused on at this point in your life? Like, what are the things that you find bring you the most meaning?
My kids.
Mm. How many now?
I got a son and a daughter.
What ages?
My daughter 5, my son 12. Okay. He just dropped a song, Juju the Boss.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fire.
He been around us since he was born, you know, like just hit the Doughboy videos and just soaking it all up.
How much have you taught him about rapping, or has he just figured it out on his own?
I always used to put him in the studio just playing around. So he just like naturally good at it. He know what to do in front of a camera, all of that. And I just always kept him. He was like a little mini me, you know, like if I got a chain on and braids, he got a chain and braids. And you know, he was soaking that shit up growing up.
Right.
You know?
So, but at this point, he's 12. So it's kind of like he's in this weird in-between stage where he's not quite a man, but he's not a little boy.
Yeah, like even with the rap, he don't really care about rapping. You know, I push him to do it.
So you're kind of
I'm just in his ear, like, you know, just trying to create different things for him. But right now he all about girls and his friends. You know, that's all he want to do.
He play video games?
Oh yeah, heavy in video games.
What's he play
on that damn Snapchat?
Oh, he's on that too.
Yeah,
see, that's a scary social network for a kid to have. Because they can just send the shit so that you can't see the record,
you know,
of it.
It just be, I mean, what are y'all doing on that shit? I mean, you know, I was 12 before, so I can only imagine.
I've had a lot of people tell me that their kids will just move the conversation to Snapchat, like, real early on. Like, you know, my friends who have, like, kids who are old enough to have phones and Snapchat and stuff, that they'll just, like, if they start talking to somebody on Instagram, they move that shit to Snapchat super fast because they don't want there to be a record. And I'm like, that is fucking terrifying that these kids are that smart and that they're thinking about that kind of shit. Because I'm not even that smart now. Like, fucking, you know, that would never occur to me.
Yeah. But I ain't going to lie. He be getting in trouble for stuff on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
Somebody be screenshotting it or something.
Really?
Yeah. Just might be impersonating them. Maybe all type of dumb shit.
Damn, impersonating them.
Yeah.
That's scary. Okay, in terms of what you have come in, are you doing interviews right now, like, because of any particular project that's dropping soon? Or
I just dropped this project called Ghost Mode. You know, some disappear and get money type music, you know.
Okay.
Stay focused on your goals, stay out the way type music.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm just doing interviews, you know, just to open up, man, get out of my comfort zone.
Right.
You know, I don't fuck with interviews like that.
You know?
Nah. I never did it for real.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a different time that you come from where they weren't thought of as crucial?
I don't know. Nowadays, it's like interviews would be so messy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't be want to get caught in that trick bag.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying this on my other podcast, but yeah, like, sometimes now when people invite me to do an interview, it's just like, oh, like, I can already tell every dumb fucking thing they're going to ask me. Mm. You know, it's like all shit I talked about before, and I'm just like, am I really going to do it? And I kind of feel bad because I used to really like doing smaller podcasts and stuff, and then as I get a little bit older, I'm more like, I don't really want to just be going and just blabbing on smaller platforms when I know y'all are just going to try to go viral by asking me some crazy shit that I already talked about.
They're going to make that the title. And, yeah. You know,
probably going to have to do that for this one.
Oh, man. I ain't say nothing crazy.
Yeah, so we really going to have to stretch it.
You got to remix it.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, I come from a group, you know what I'm saying? So I enjoyed being in a group because I could kind of do my thing and, like, fall back. It wasn't, like, about me. And, you know, I don't know, something about the spotlight.
I think that kind of says something about where we're at culturally now, that there are so few groups. And that
it's like damn near no groups.
It's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
And that's why the Migos breakup really kind of stung. It's because it was like, damn, that was kind of like the last great group, even though it was only three
we
dudes.
We came out when the Migos had first came out. We got some Jeezy Migos coming out. They came with that Versace.
Right.
And that shit just took off like crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the producers we was working with to be like, y'all need to rap off this shit like the Migos.
Really?
I mean, like, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. There were a lot of records like that, though, that time. Like, a lot of people rapping like the Migos.
Because they dominated when they came in.
I don't know if you know who Math Hoff is, but he's, like, a dude from New York, battle rapper and everything. And he said to me when we were doing interviews, like, I had mad Kid Cudi-style songs. Like, I did Kid Cudi-style songs because Kid Cudi was, like, the popping shit at the time. And it's hard for me to remember, like, oh, you're, like, a real New York rapper and you fucking were kind of doing Kid Cudi style songs because Kid Cudi was so popular at the time.
Yeah,
but
Kid Cudi's doing his thing.
But that's really the thing is that he didn't have to admit that. You know, like he had like a little whack chapter in his catalog. He didn't have to bring it up.
But you know, you're trying to figure out different things and you get that one hit, that's all you need. And it might be something that's out your element, you know.
But if it comes off like you're just being creative and imaginative and coming up with cool shit, the fans might fuck with it, but if it comes off like, oh, he just copied like the poppin' rapper right now, the fans might never forgive you.
You could fuck yourself up too if you do drop a song and you not being you, you trying to, you know, do whatever's going on, and now they want that from you all the time, and you don't even know what to come with no more.
Well, I know so many drill rappers that just basically, I can tell that they feel stuck in this box where they can only rap about shooting and who got killed and yada yada.
If that's what the people want, you like, I gotta keep on coming with this shit.
And if they drop a love song, they're gonna get, you know, 20% of the views, and they're gonna see it, and their brain's gonna be like, oh fuck, I gotta kill somebody on the next song so that I can get some views.
See, that's why I'm glad I like my fans fuck with me for being me. Yeah. I ain't gotta talk some dumb shit that I was on 10 years ago because that's what worked.
Right.
Now I done grew into something different, and I still gotta preach this dumb shit. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad they fuck with exactly who I am.
That's real. That's probably a good note to end it on.
Yeah, that was a nice ending. Anyway, make that the headline.
All right. Yeah. Just a quote. Yeah. What? Anybody you want to thank? Anything we should be looking out for?
You know, Ghost Mode in stores. Well, not in stores. Apple Music.
Right. Nowadays. That's the store.
In stores.
Yeah.
Ghost Mode out now. Let me see. Shout out to the whole Doughboys Cash Out, Overlord, Scooch, Big Keith, HBK, Dre, Clay Baby. I don't know. Got some movies coming.
What kind of movies?
Independent films. You know, I got my own film company. Yeah.
That's dope.
About to collab with, I ain't going to speak on that yet.
Mm.
I'm going to keep that under wraps.
But. All right.
Yeah.
Go up. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Payroll. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you for having me.
Much love.
For sure.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, OnlyFans, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Bye.